questions. Actually, just what we were speaking, Krishnananda, what we were speaking the other day, is that Sasha should look for a spiritual master near to where he is. How's it going? He understands.
He understands part of it. I said that.
And then, if there's any specific guidance I can give him, or something, or questions he wants to ask over a Skype conference, or for some time we meet, then that's also fine. So it's like when I went to Ukraine and I had devotees approach me for being spiritual master, I told them I was willing to act in the capacity of giving him some kind of guidance or shiksha, but not as a diksha guru. And so if he wants, then he can do that. My responsibilities far afield or at a distance. okay, anything else, or anyone have any other questions? You were going to ask a question? It's already been final for many, many years. It's nothing new. It's just that you should have conveyed that to him, and that was your mistake. It's his fault. Nothing to do with me. Didn't talk about Bhakti Thakur.
Practically speaking, nothing. He only mentioned in the beginning.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's a very, very auspicious day. Appearance. And, idea of protecting the heritage of our previous acharyas is a very important thing. These persons aren't just like stories or some saints of the past, but they've left us a legacy, and it's our duty to both carry that legacy and to also protect it. Carrying the legacy means to actually continue the preaching mission and also to practice Krishna consciousness the way they practiced and protect it. Means that there's going to be so many adverse elements, different philosophies and so on that arise in the course of time. And we need to protect Krishna consciousness from those. The tendency often is that people will think, well, those traditions are related to a certain time and space, and they're not relevant anymore. But actually, many of the traditions that we receive are eternal principles. They're not temporary or local or something that happened in the past. Just like I say, well, no divorce was a good policy in the past, but it's not practical anymore. These are different principles. And Thakur Bhaktivinod really revived the Vaishnav tradition, philosophy, and way of life, particularly fell to the hands of sahajas. In other words, people, sahaja means someone who just makes changes, unjustified changes. And that's also what Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur continued to fight against, those influence of those sahajas, really giving Krishna consciousness a bad name. So much emphasis on writing books and distributing books, because that way the oral tradition, which was customary but which was no longer really a foolproof guarantee, would be preserved. In other words, In previous ages, people would perfectly repeat everything that they heard. Now you couldn't depend on that. But if you write it down, then at least it's written down. The written word is there. Did you bring the books back?
Yes, of course.
Well, let me just put them out there where I got them from. showed Maharaj the books?
Yes, Maharaj. Yeah, he really likes to look at them. He wants a set. He's going to pay for them.
That's what he said.
Yeah. Yeah. He asked how much they were. He said, yeah, that's fine.
Huh?
He said, that's fine. I told him the price. Wants them sent to New Zealand.
Uh-huh. Well, I'll just wait till anyway, I'll see him in India and we can talk, see if he wants to get the first four volumes or wait for the whole set. Yeah, so Bhaktivinoda Thakur wrote all these books and inspired Bhaktisthanta Saraswati Thakur. In that way, all of the truths of Vaishnavism are in a written down. And obviously, you can even change things if they're written, but at least copies of originals are there, and it's less tendency to change things once it's been written down. And it's also very, very potent. And example is that Thakur is always generally in not good health, and still that didn't diminish his family responsibilities, his government duties. He traveled, his preaching, his writing, excavating birthplace of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So, really significant contributions, extraordinary contributions. It's not something that ordinary people do. And yet, we see that extraordinary people have many. Krishna puts many obstacles in their way just to glorify them, to show how great they are by overcoming those obstacles, and also by showing us that that's what we can expect in the world. That's what material world is about. We can't wait for some ideal circumstance to practice or spread Krishna consciousness. So that was so today's a good day for not only remembering Bhaktivinoda Thakur, but actually the mission that he invested so much in, to dedicate ourselves to that, rededicate ourselves to that, and see if we're really protecting it, spreading it in the way that he wanted us to do.
Guru Maharaj, I was wondering, because since I've watched the Ramayana Mahabharata, since I know that Krishna and Radha are in the incarnation of Ram and Sita, I was wondering, since, say, Ram and Sita really loved each other and they married each other, but Krishna and Radha really loved each other but they didn't get married. Mm. They just have more of a boyfriend-girlfriend relationship. I was wondering why that was.
Well, because when people get married, then after a while they sort of get used to each other. And when they don't get married, then they don't have the same type of complacency, because they're not living together. They're always separated. So because they're always separated, I'm just going to open that window a little. Because they're always separated, they don't spend so much time together, so the relationship remains more fresh, and it also remains intense. And that's why Radha and Krishna are like that, eternally boyfriend, girlfriend. And that way they remain friends. Whereas when they get married, then they may not end up remaining friends. But of course, Sita and Ram, they always remain friends. But the relationship is just not as intense, because even in the transcendental sphere, you sort of tend to take things for granted. That my husband's always coming home, and everything's assured, guaranteed. Whereas when you're not married and you have to do things on the sly, then nothing's guaranteed, everything's risky, so it's very, very adventurous. And that adventurous thing, that makes things more exciting and more interesting. Yeah. Is that okay?